The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Okay, we are going to talk about emotional triggers today. All right, this is Dr. Patty, and this is a really important lesson because whether you have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or post-traumatic stress syndrome, or just post-traumatic stress is how we're saying it the newest way. If you struggle with some traumatic events, okay. But even if you don't particularly have PTSD, many, many people struggle with emotional triggers in their life. So I want to help you understand what emotional triggers are and define them a little bit so you're educated on that. And then I want to help you recognize your own emotional triggers. And I'd also like to give you some coping tools so that you begin to evolve and develop and expand your emotional abilities with your own emotional triggers. Okay, so what exactly is emotional trigger? Well, everybody has emotions. I know some of you out there would like to think that you do not. I see a lot of first responders, and I'll tell you there's a whole lot of cops that say, I don't have any emotions. Yes, they do. They find them when they come into my office. It's kind of funny. But everyone has emotions. We feel things. We feel good things. We feel bad things. Some emotions are easier to keep under wraps or to keep personal inside yourself or quiet. Some you can't control. It's the difficult emotional triggers that we're discussing today. Because the easy ones like, oh, that's irritating, that you might be able to stay silent about. It's the really big ones that trigger you and touch old emotional issues that sometimes you don't control as well. And I want to teach you how to recognize that. So let's take a really simple example. Let's say you're sitting in a meeting at work, wherever you work, and there's a person in that meeting that just drives you nuts. They won't ever shut up, or they have an answer to everything, or they think they know everything, or they're kind of arrogant and obnoxious. And every time they talk, you're going, ugh. Oh, that drives me nuts. Now, you may have the ability to say absolutely nothing and practice silence. You may get irritated and snappy. You may hold it and hold it and hold it until you finally say, oh, come on, we need to not think of it that way. You might kind of blow up a little bit. Everybody's been in a situation where there's been something happening that is irritating or obnoxious or bothers you. How well you handle it is directly related to how much that incident emotionally triggers you. So let's look at what are some of the triggers that people have. What I'm looking at is what triggers you. So I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. You're going to want to write some notes down, because if I say something that you go, oh yeah, that's one of them, write it down. Okay. I see a lot that people are triggered by control issues. They want control. They get triggered when someone else is grabbing control, and knowing how a situation is going to play out and what's going to be the outcome and who's going to say and do what and how much it's going to cost and all these kind of control issues might be something that bugs you. Okay. A lot of people that have control issues will say, yeah, I'm a control freak. I know it. Okay. So write that down if that's one of them. Another trigger that I see for people is disrespect. If somebody disrespects you or treats you poorly or talks down to you, disrespect can trigger an emotional reaction. Laziness is a trigger for many people. They can't stand it when someone doesn't get up and offer to help or doesn't want to finish a project or, you know, is going to kick back and do nothing while everyone else is doing the work. So laziness can be a trigger. Another big one is being teased. Okay, if somebody calls you a nickname or teases you about something that you're tired of being teased about. And we're also going to talk about where some of these triggers originate. But I want you to recognize what gets your goat, what makes you tweaked and want to either say something or you're, you know, silently making yourself be quiet. Money is something that triggers people. How much something costs, whether you're paying your fair share or not, whether someone else is paying their fair share or not. Just money issues in general, they get hyper-focused on that and can be a trigger. Another one is being left out, which is real similar to being left, abandonment issues. But being left out, not included, not considered, can kind of go with disrespect, but it also can go with not feeling important enough and being left out. Trauma, of course, is a trigger. You've been through a trauma like a car accident, or you're a vet, or you're an emergency response person, and you have been through a lot of traumas. Something that you particularly hold on to might end up being an emotional trigger for you. Safety is a huge trigger. Like moms are always concerned about their kids' safety, and so they might be triggered by something happening like you drove my three-year-old to the store and you didn't put him in a car seat. You didn't have his car seat. How did you get him to the store? That might trigger a mom, right? Okay, so safety, and that's just a little safety example. Fairness is a huge trigger for people. They hate it when things happen that are not fair. And they'll even say, well, it's not fair that he went and she didn't. It's not fair that he paid more money than you did. It's not fair that. And those words will come out of their mouth a lot. So those are some examples of little triggers that can make you tweaked. Okay? So what we're talking about is not just what triggers you, but what is the response that you make that makes you say, I can just be quiet about this and hold it to myself, or I have to do something, or I lose control of my emotions because I've been triggered. And that's what we're talking about today. Not only understand what your triggers are, but really working on why that's a trigger for you. Because I'll tell you, the coolest thing that happens is once you know what your trigger is and you get a handle on why that's a trigger for you, it loses a whole lot of power in your life. Because instead of it being unconscious and you having an emotional unconscious response to it that you're not very in control of, you're going to be really aware. Like, for example, I get triggered by things when they're not fair. Wow, that really triggers my fairness issue. Okay, you know, do I need to do anything about it? Do I just need to recognize that that triggers my fairness issue, and I end up with too big of an emotional response? That's the difference between seeing it, understanding it, maybe even doing some work to find out why it's like that, and actually being in charge of the response that you have from an emotional trigger. It's important, and it's really cool when you grow enough to develop what's going on with you. So many people have areas of sensitivity that trigger them. And they often state this with authority. For example, they'll say something like, whenever I hear about a man abusing a woman, it just infuriates me. Okay, it does for many people. When somebody says, when I see someone being mean to a child or unfair to a child, that triggers them. And they say it with authority like it triggers everybody, which maybe it should, and it often does. There are some triggers that are much more universal. And then there are triggers that are really, really personal to each one of us. What I want you to do is understand when you're triggered. Ideally, I want you to understand what triggers you and why. And then I want you to understand what is the emotional response that you have and what do you need to work on and how do you need to evolve with those triggers and that emotional response. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to continue to teach you some things about emotional triggers so that you get better and better at this by the end of this show. We'll be back in a minute. ¶¶
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids' meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adult. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to the incredibly beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. He's won tons of awards, played all over the world. He's an amazing, amazing musician. He has six CDs. They're all beautiful, relaxing, and different. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out his CDs. They are worth every penny. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on this show. I think it's helped a lot of people in the relaxation arena. Okay, we're talking about emotional triggers. So far what I'm asking you to do is to kind of take an inventory and say, what triggers me? What are the things that I just can't stand and will make me feel horrible and make me have some kind of big emotional response? The first step is to say, well, these things trigger me a lot. And it's probably one of those ones that I said earlier, disrespect or lack of control or money issues or fairness or abuse. Somebody is doing something to somebody that you've experienced, and you'll be darned if you're going to allow that to happen in your life. So what are your triggers? Just write them down. And then what's really important is to stop and think, where did this evolve from? How long has this been a trigger of mine? It might be just since you were an adult. Like, let's say you had a real abusive first marriage and you finally extracted yourself from that. And now when you hear about somebody being abused, whether it's emotionally or physically, you have an emotional response to that and feel highly justified in that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that that becomes an emotional trigger for you because you're hypervigilant to people being abused because you went through that. So it's okay to say that. I really have a trigger of hearing about people being in abusive relationships. I have that trigger because I had an abusive relationship and it was very hard to extract myself. So I have a lot of empathy for people going through that. And that's a real secret here. Sympathy and empathy are a little bit different. Sympathy is saying, wow, that's so hard that you went through that, or I feel really bad for people in abusive relationships. Empathy is when you have experienced that. It's a difference between having cancer and knowing what that feels like and chemo and the pain and the fear and everything, and having a relative or a friend with cancer and being supportive and understanding what they went through but not experiencing it. So the things that we tend to get triggered about are the things we are empathetic about. things we have personally experienced. So when you say, I get really triggered by someone hurting people or emotional abuse or kids that are not taken care of, stop and say, is that an emotional trigger for me because I experience that? And I'm not saying that's bad. I want you to know. I want you to raise that to a conscious level of thinking so that you're not run by it. You can run it, right? You've heard me talk before about the iceberg in the water. And if you know how that works, icebergs are about 90% below water. Only about 10% float above the water. Look at that as the difference between conscious thought floating above the waterline and unconscious thought, which floats below the waterline. I want to lower your waterline so more and more is available to conscious thought. And you can say, wow, that's me being triggered by my old abuse issues, instead of you being triggered and you being totally unaware of why. Or feeling very justified in your excessive response and sort of knowing why, but not really knowing why. I want you to be in charge of that, not it to be in charge of you. So, what do I get triggered by is the first thing. How old is this? Like, sometimes I ask my clients sitting in front of me when they'll tell me, they'll talk about something going on, and I'll say, how old is that feeling? And I'll say, don't think about it too hard. Tell me how old you feel when you talk to me about that. And they will invariably say something like, 5. I feel 5 years old. I feel like a teenager. I feel like I'm 10. Why do I feel like I'm 10? And I say, well, don't overanalyze it. Tell me about your life when you were 10. And invariably, the trigger of the emotional response that they can unconsciously state if they get out of their own way triggers them to age 10, and we start looking at age 10. That might have been when they were molested, or when stepfather came into the picture and it was an abusive situation, or somebody died and left them abandoned and in foster care. I mean, pick something. It doesn't matter. But can you see how that would trigger a person now, and how a very painful event from, say, age 10 might be pushed into kind of unconsciousness, but the trigger is still alive and active here now? And we might be talking about a 50-year-old who answers the question to me, I feel 10 when that happens. So I'm asking you to do that. What is your trigger? How does it make you feel? How old do you feel when you think about that? Or what does that remind you of? Or where do you think that trigger came from? You might know. Like, people can often say to me, oh, yeah, I was very much abused as a kid. My parents were extremely abusive, physical, emotionally abusive. And when I see a child in that situation, I just get furious. Okay? Trigger. You hear that? Now, is it a justifiable, righteous trigger that they get furious when a child's being abused or in a bad situation? Nobody's going to argue that. From my perspective, I want you to be aware. Because once you're aware, then you can handle the situation with a lot more finesse than just being triggered. All right, so what is the emotional trigger, and how old is it? How do you think it came there? And what is your response? Do you have a safety response? Like, I just need to get that kid out of there. Or I just need to intervene and stop that guy from talking to his wife that way in the grocery store. What is the response that you have? And what category would you put it under? That's a really unfair thing for you to do. Or that woman's in danger, I've got to step in and help. Or somebody's going to bleed to death, I need to step up and help. What is the trigger that you have, and how do you feel about it? Is it righteous indignation? Is it for the safety of others? Is it to save a life? What is the trigger of what's happening? Now, sometimes we're triggered because we have a fear response. The fear of losing control, the fear of not being safe, the fear of someone we love getting hurt. And so if it reminds you of something, then part of your brain is saying, it's happening again. Warning, warning, it's happening again. You've got to step up. You have to find a response. You can't let this happen. So you hear the trigger, and you hear how unconscious that trigger can be. And it can be very difficult to handle if you're not aware. The other thing that triggers can make you relive is sadness and grief. It can remind you of someone you've lost. It can send you into a feeling of, I'm going to cry, or I don't like this, or it's a bad trigger. I don't want it. So understanding what the trigger is and then working to overcome it is really important. And it's very possible for us to do that. So can you see how the beginning of this is important? What are triggers? What are your triggers? How old are they? Where do they come from? Are they newer? Or have you been dealing with this for a long time? And how justified do you feel in having this trigger? You know, that's important just to notice. And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. You might be very justified in having this trigger. But there's a sense when people are righteously indignant and justified in their trigger that they spout it like it's total fact. Do you tend to do that? I'm just asking you to take a good hard look at yourself, not somebody else, at yourself. Okay? So what happens when people are triggered? We're going to spend some time on this in the next section. But I want to introduce the idea to you that when we are triggered, we can have a spectrum of response. Now, lots of times in this show, you hear me talk about a spectrum of response. So let's look at the spectrum when triggered. It could be all the way to a little tiny tweak inside that you don't even lose your smile or flinch, and you notice inside, oh, that made me want to cry, or that, oh, that pisses me off, or something like that. And you keep it silent, and you hold your space, and you have a good poker face, and nobody outside of your head would even know you're feeling it. That'd be one end of being triggered. All the way to the other end, where you get hijacked by the amygdala, and we've talked about that before, of getting hijacked, where you are immediately into fight, flight, or freeze, and you're really not thinking consciously, you are reacting, and you might way overreact. You might be furious and scream and yell, or go into protection mode, or sit there looking what I call Tharn, where you've got the deer in the headlights look, where you can't function. That would be an extreme response to a trigger. And we see people have extreme response. We hear people with PTSD, like vets and first responders and people like that, they can have an extreme PTSD response when they are triggered. Typical example would be the Vietnam vet who hears a car backfire and he dives under the bush because he's certain that it's gunfire, because he's triggered by the sound and his response is a hyper response of safety. So that's at the other end of the spectrum. Then there's everything in between. There's just getting a little irritated. There's just tearing up a little. Go to the other end of the spectrum, sobbing uncontrollably because you're triggered, getting angry, irritated, starting to snap at everybody around you because something in your environment triggered you. So what triggers you? Memories? Sight? Sound? Smell? Taste? Texture? These are all things that can trigger us. And sometimes they happen all at once. So those are really strong triggers when something looks like, smells like, tastes like, feels like, and reminds you of. Okay, that can really trigger you. So we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the response that people have to triggers so that you notice what they are. And I'm going to teach you how to begin to get a handle on not only your trigger, but your responses. We'll be back in a minute.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at kcnr1460.com.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. All right. You were listening to me play didgeridoo there. I had to wait for a minute. Let it play. I love didge. It just speaks to my soul, in case you can't tell. All right. So we're talking about the triggers of trauma and what your response is. Because it's just knowing what triggers you is not enough. I want you to understand that and then understand the response you have. So, what is an okay response to a trigger? I'm not judging that. You might start crying. Like I'll give you an example of a trigger when you're in grief and loss. You go to the grocery store and you pull the box of cereal down from the shelf and put it in the basket, and then you go, that's my husband that passed away. That's what he eats. Oh, and you put it back, and then you start sobbing in the middle of the grocery store aisle. That was a trigger, right? Triggered you into grief and loss. You had a response to that. Now, let's go even more extreme. You have the cereal box and you start throwing it and you start wiping all the cereal boxes off the shelf screaming because you're having an excessive response to the cereal box. Is that okay? Well, that's when you start to get in trouble. You have an excessive response to a trigger. And people don't appreciate that, for starters. They get real uncomfortable. Police officers don't often appreciate it. Emergency room personnel don't often appreciate it. So when you have an excessive response to a trigger, not everybody understands what you're experiencing. When you start to recognize what triggers you, then you can begin to handle it and tone down your excessive response into something more reasonable. I see people in my office all the time who often get dragged in by other people, like a spouse, and what they're talking about is this person gets overly triggered, and that's not necessarily male or female. A husband might say she's overly triggered by her parents or her work conditions. And she might be saying something when she drags him in, like, the kids totally trigger him when they mouth off to him at all. They're just teenagers, and teenagers do that, but he gets excessively triggered when they are disrespectful. Can you see how that becomes an issue in a marriage, or issues in a parenting style? Now, we might need to look at why does that dad get excessively triggered, or why is that mom, and these are just examples, they could be either person. Why does that mom get triggered by her parents? First off, she needs to understand she gets triggered. Secondly, she needs to say, why do I get triggered by my parents? How old is that? What happened that made me hang on to that to try and gain some control? So it's really evolving of you to understand this. And a lot of people don't want any part of recognizing their triggers or understanding how they respond. They just feel significantly justified in what they're doing because this was totally unfair and they know it, and this is how they respond. What I'm asking you to do is grow emotionally. Evolve. Evolve with your trauma. Evolve with your triggers. And become more than you used to be. So getting on top of them and knowing it lets you handle things a whole lot better. All right, the other thing we need to talk about here is trauma and triggering. That's a real clear one often. Let's say you were in a car accident and the smell of gasoline that was leaking all over the place will trigger you if you smell it now. And you might consciously say when you're filling up your car and you get a whiff of fumes, you might say, oh, that reminds me of the accident. Okay, then I want you to go a step further. When it reminds you of the accident, how do you feel? How are you when you get back in your car? What kind of things are you thinking? What is your emotional response? Let's go even higher than that. How stable are you to get back in your car and drive? When you recognize I'm having an emotional response to an old trauma or a former trauma, it might not even be old, it puts you in the driver's seat. It doesn't put the trauma in the driver's seat. It puts you in the driver's seat. And that's my goal, is to have people drive that vehicle and not be, like my metaphor for it is, you're way in the back of a station wagon, not even seatbelted in, bouncing around while nobody's driving the car. That's what happens when you are triggered in your trauma responses from PTSD or whatever, and only having an emotional response that you're not in charge of. I'm trying to get you back in the driver's seat. And it's so cool when you see people start to learn how to do that, because they get so much better and their life gets easier. And guess what? People like you more. Your spouse likes you more. Your kids like you more. So one of the things that recognizing it does, what is my trigger? What caused it? What's the origins of this trigger? Whether it's a trauma or just a life event that happened all the time, or something subtle and little and easy that happened to you all the time. It doesn't matter. Recognizing it, where it comes from, and how you respond on that spectrum, all the way from I hold my silence and don't even make a face to I go way over the top and scream and yell and, you know, charge around and road rage and pick something that's really extreme. Where do you fall on that spectrum? It's really important for you to recognize this. And it's the foundation of the work we're doing here today, that you're going to be more in charge of your triggers and what they are and why. Now, I want you to recognize, too, that you can be triggered by what's called secondary trauma. Secondary trauma is when you're not the one who is traumatized, but you are the witness to, or you helped with the emergency response, or you were involved in the trauma somehow. Because I hear in my office all the time, especially from first responders, well, I wasn't the one that got shot, or I wasn't the one in the car accident that lost my child. I'm only the person that pulled the dead child out of the back seat. Okay? And they will downplay the trauma that they had from their response to the emergency. But it's also significantly important, because now they not only have secondary trauma, they feel badly for the parents who lost their child, but they have some primary trauma, being the one who is actually pulling the body of a child out of the car. Okay? So sometimes we have primary trauma and secondary trauma happening in all one blow. Like from my profession, I have a lot of secondary trauma from very extensive rape, molest, child abuse cases. And I have to be careful not passing on that secondary trauma where I've heard horrid stories, like over 30-something years of doing this. I have a huge category of horrendous stories. And if I were to sit down and tell the regular old person about these stories, I would be giving almost like a third degree sort of trauma, where I'm taking my secondary trauma and passing it on by giving you the visual or the response. So we have to remember that we don't necessarily want to share a trauma in a way that traumatizes someone else. So how do you get help for that? You go to a therapist, and you go to a therapist who deals with trauma work because they are better equipped to handle your trauma, talk about it, and not suck it into themselves, or have the skills to know how to kind of cleanse that from their own psyche. Even then, you will find, as a therapist, as a first responder, as a doctor, as somebody who works with difficult situations, that there will always be those cases that you just can't set aside. Those are the cases that will trigger you the most. So what I'm saying is that's normal. People have it. Know what it is and know what it triggers you to do. And know what kind of response you have. And what I'm asking you to look at right now is, do I need to make that a healthier response? And how would you do that? And what would a healthier response be? I'm not going to start screaming and yelling and going off on somebody verbally or physically. I'm going to recognize I'm triggered, and I might allow myself to feel something, but it will be in the realm of appropriate response. I also want to give you a hint. Those of you that think that you have an absolutely silent response and nobody knows, it's probably written all over your face, especially when somebody who can kind of read your emotions, read your micro-expressions. Sometimes it's better to speak out loud and say, wow, that really reminds me of a traumatic event from my childhood. Or, I have to be careful not to be triggered by things like that because of my military experience. Or, you know, when something like that happens, I go into emergency mode because I've been a medic or a paramedic or an EMT or a nurse or a doctor forever, and that triggers my response mode, and I have to be aware of that. Sometimes it's better to say it out loud than to have it cross your face and people go, whoa, what's with him or her? And you go, nothing, I'm fine. Kind of gets me when people say, I'm fine. And I always think that means effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional, not truly fine. My clients walk in and they say, how you doing? They go, fine. I mean, I'm good. It's kind of cute. I love that. All right, so you're catching my drift here. There's primary trauma, secondary trauma. We can even pass on trauma to other people by giving them complete visuals of what we are dealing with. Trauma, emotional experiences, childhood experience, little experiences that accumulate by being teased forever about some physical feature you have, or teased forever about your last name because it rhymes with something, or can be misconstrued to be a bad thing. Like, for example, your name is Richard and they called you Dick all your life. And then you got to high school and that became a huge joke. You follow what I mean? So that can end up being a trigger for you, or trauma. Little, might be little, but you probably still have one. I just want you to know, because once you know, you're more conscious, you're more in charge. Okay, when we come back for this last section of the show, I want to give you some skills to work with, not against, your emotional triggers. So get a pen and paper if you don't have one already, And I want you to know what your triggers are, and I want you to have some very specific coping skills when these happen to you. Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about emotional triggers. All right, so up to this point in the show, you have been listening carefully, and you have figured out some better ability. What are your emotional triggers, and what are they based on, and what kind of response do you have? Okay, so I want you to work with these triggers, not against them. I don't want you judging yourself or saying that, you know, you're an idiot or it's a baby response or you just need to be quiet and stop it. That doesn't work. That, you know, the whole idea of just stop it, I really wish that worked. It would make my job very easy, but probably job security that people can't just stop it, right? It's hard. You can't just stop it. You do a better job of just stopping it when you understand what and why. It gives you a huge advantage. So the first thing I want you to do in working with your emotional triggers is to notice. Often I kind of prescribe to my clients, I don't want you to make any changes. I want you to spend from now until our next appointment noticing. When are you triggered? How do you respond? When do you feel righteously indignant and justified in your anger or your irritation? What triggers you, and I want you to notice. You don't have to change a thing. And it's so funny because often when you say to somebody, you don't have to change anything, they not only notice, but they change things because nobody's pressured them to have to change things. Not that we're control freaks as individuals, but you can get my drift here. So first thing I want you to do is notice. How do I do this? And you could take some time to do that. I want you to educate yourself on your own triggers. How, where, why? How do you know? Okay. Why are they there? So as you're just noticing, I want you to notice triggers that you didn't even think you had. Okay. You're not allowed to judge yourself and tell yourself you're dumb. You also are not allowed to do this for somebody else. Okay. Now, let's say you and your spouse are going to listen to this together and say, let's help each other figure out our triggers. I guarantee you, your spouse is going to look at you and go, oh, I know one of yours. When this happens, you do this. And they're going to go, I do not. And they'll go, yeah, you do it all the time. Listen to that, okay? Just tune in and listen to that because they most likely know you well. So that's your first response. What are my triggers? How do I respond? I don't want to do that like I've been doing it. So how do I do it differently? The next step you're going to do is, and you hear me talk about this on this show a lot, is I want you to hold the dog poop. And I always own it that I don't always say poop, but my producer Jared is going to beat me if I say the other word. He's looking at me through the window. All right. So you're going to hold the dog poop. The dog poop is the nasty, ugly, looks like, tastes like, smells like, feels like nastiness that you are encountering that reminds you of something else. It's the trigger. All right? And what you're actually holding is not only the trigger, but all the old history that comes with that trigger. So my idea for you is to just notice. Okay? Hold the trigger. Let's go back to the cereal box example. You put the person puts the cereal box in the grocery cart and goes, oh, I don't need to buy that anymore because it's what he used to get, not what I got. So you stand there and you hold the box and you go, wow, this is really triggering grief. I hate being triggered by grief when it happens out of the blue. It makes me feel out of control. I don't like that. I'm just going to sit here and feel this for a minute. You might cry. Okay, is it the end of the world if you cry in the grocery store aisle? No, except for people walk by and go, are you okay? Yeah, I'm just having a nasty grief reaction. All right, but you just notice, all right? And then you might gently put the cereal box back with a prayer or a thought, but you notice. You don't judge. You don't overly control. But instead of being triggered by it and then leaving the grocery store angry or having a wobbly in the middle of the grocery store aisle or leaving your cart and storming out, you have a reasonable response to an understandable trigger. That's holding the dog poop. You stand there and go, oh, you're literally holding the cereal box going, this totally triggered me. It's so much more developed than having an unconscious response, shoving down the emotions, trying not to be upset, getting home and yelling and screaming at somebody or being irritable or having to go home and get in bed and pull the covers over your head. More extreme, not very conscious responses. So I know you're getting it. You see the difference. When you allow yourself to hold the dog poop, you're saying, oh, I've got a handful of nasty, mushy, smelly, ugly stuff here. Eee. So you're not going to spread it all over everybody else. You're not going to throw it around the room. You're not going to put it in your heart because you don't need more of it. But you're just going to notice. And you're going to notice until you're done noticing. And then you're going to wash your hands. You feel the calmness of that. You feel the non-judgmental lack of excessive response, but also not stuffing it under and stressing yourself. It's a much healthier response to a trigger. You're going to hold the dog poop, figure it out, let the emotions flow through you, feel them, acknowledge them, honor them, okay? Because believe me, if you've got trauma, you've earned those tears. If you've been through stuff as a child or you have been a first responder or you've been in the military and come home with trauma or you just had a nasty childhood, you've earned those tears. So pushing them away and telling yourself to shut it down and shut up or pushing it under and then over-responding somewhere else is not you honoring what you've been through. So it's time to start doing that. So you're going to let the feelings flow through you. Honor them. Now, it might not be the appropriate place to start crying. You know, if a therapist gets triggered in the middle of a session, you don't want to make it about you. You want to keep the focus on your client. But later, you might say, wow, that really triggered me, and I put it aside to deal with later. And then if you can find it later, which hopefully you can process it then. So you're going to feel it, but you don't want to act out. And by acting out, I'm talking about the other end of that spectrum where your response to the emotional trigger is way over the top. All right? Take the cereal box. You don't want to start throwing all the cereal boxes around in the aisle or stomp out of the store or scream and yell at everybody or get violent. That would be an extreme response, right? So you want to feel it, notice it, hold the dog poop, and don't act out. That's throwing the dog poop around at everybody else. Okay, you're catching the metaphor. Avoiding your emotions and shoving them under and pretending you don't feel it also does not work. Because I'll tell you, they leak out somewhere. They leak out on your kids or your spouse. They leak out at work. They leak out when you're driving. They leak out in your sleep. They leak out as anxiety and depression that you're going, I don't know why I'm so depressed. Well, maybe you're stuffing down your trauma and your triggers and it's destroying you. So it is a much healthier response to learn how to recognize these, deal with them in the right way, and understand what your response has been in the past and where you want to move toward. Okay? So I'm not saying that you're going to move from having an excessive over response to, you know, being the Zen monk who just can totally handle it. Maybe. I'm always open to miracles. I'm telling you that as you become more aware and you become able and understanding of a healthier, more emotionally stable response to your trigger, and here's a really important word when it comes to trigger, permission. Permission to notice, permission to feel, permission to honor where that comes from. Not shoving it under, not pretending it doesn't there, not having a hyper over response and feeling justified in doing that. No, but doing this in a really healthy way. It is so healing. It's healing for PTSD. It's healing for secondary trauma when you're not the super origin of the trauma or the person who's actually traumatized, but you witnessed it or you were involved in the aftermath or you were helping the person medically. Those can be examples of secondary trauma. All right? So it doesn't matter where your trauma comes from. It might be as simple as, you know, things that happened over and over again in your childhood that someone might say, yo, you shouldn't be attached to that. Well, sorry. It'd be nice if you could just stop it, right? So my whole point in this show is that emotional triggers are important. They're an insight into your soul. They are a call to consciousness about who you are as a human being. It is what you have been through, for good or bad or ugly. It's okay. It's what hones us to be humans. And it's what we're here on our school to do, is have this human response and learn how to love other people, learn how to love ourselves, learn how to love that place we come from. My word for that is God. Where do we come from? And do this differently in a healthier, more emotionally developed way. So I hope you've gotten something out of this show today to understand your emotional triggers, understand the response you've had in the past, learn where your triggers came from, and it's time to develop a healthier response to your emotional triggers. Now, you might need to listen to this show a few times through. It'll be on my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. It's on Spotify, iTunes, any podcast forum, and it's there to help people heal. So I hope you enjoyed this show today, even if it made you feel things you didn't want to feel. That's good. I like that. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.